the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good morning. How you doing? It's wet, isn't it? That's what I think. Really good. Well, it's the beginning of a new year, everybody. 2025 is before us. And what we all need to do at the beginning of a new year, I thought to inspire you, would be to fill in a form. So you should have a form with you, which you need for today. And today's service is about preparing for the year. In February, we're going to be back together for an all-together service where I would like you to bring your filled-in form back in February. So you need to take it with you when you finished, put it in your Bible, and make this a part of your discipleship as we come along. Is that all right? I should introduce myself, really. Anyone know my name?
Steve.
Very good. That's very good. I'm doing all right after a while. My name's Steve. I'm one of the leaders here. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be in leadership in this branch of God's great idea, the church, as we are here in Exeter. And I'm going to begin by just reading the couple of verses that we've already read. So they're on the slide here. Remember, I can do that here. Here we go. Should we read this together? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Now, a little bit of a heads up. In a moment or two, I'm going to come among you with a microphone and I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to be thinking about this. I'd like to hear from two or three of you about someone who has encouraged you in your faith over the years, okay? I don't want 5 minutes of talk. I need 30 seconds, no more, please. But I would love to hear that, and so we can encourage each other as we go along. At the beginning of a new year, I thought I'd begin with a bit of cheese. Here's a bit of cheese, which we used to say quite often in Luton. When you see the word therefore, can you see that word on the screen? When you see that word at the beginning of a chapter of a Bible, you should ask a question. And do you know what the question is you should ask?
What does it therefore?
You know. When you see a therefore, you ought to ask what it's there for. So the only way that you can find out what the therefore is there for is to look back at what happened just previously. So if you've got a Bible, I encourage you to open it now. And I encourage you to do this throughout the year. Because this morning is not just about a pep talk, it's about teaching us to read the Bible and follow Jesus. So if we turn back a chapter, we find Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11 is all about faith. Faith is a really important thing. But I want to just pause for a moment to make sure that we know what faith is. And here's a question that helps you do this. Do you believe in gas cookers? Now, when I say, do you believe in gas cookers, I don't mean, do you think that gas cookers exist? Hands up here who thinks that gas cookers exist. Absolutely. Everybody is a believer in gas cookers on that level. Before I was a Christian, if you asked me, do I believe in God, I would have said yes. But it would have been like the answer to say, do I believe gas cookers exist? I would have believed it, weighing the options, and think, I think that's probably the case, but it made no difference to my life. I've just moved house, and we are hoping, my wife is in charge, so it will probably happen, we are hoping to have a new kitchen at some point. When we have a new kitchen, my wife will say to me, possibly, do you believe in gas cookers? And do you know what I will say? I will say yes. Because I do all the cooking in our house, and I believe that cooking on gas is better than cooking on electric. I believe in it, and I make decisions about it. And we will decide to buy a gas hob, if we can, rather than an electric hob. Now, hands up here who believes in gas cookers in that sense. Hands up here who doesn't believe in gas cookers in that sense. So there's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference. And this is what I felt this morning. I woke up this morning. Who hands up who believes I woke up this morning? You're right. I woke up this morning. Do you know what I felt? I'm being a bit honest with you. I felt a little bit scared. Sometimes I get a little bit scared in life. Does anybody else get a little bit scared in life? I get a little bit scared in life. And everybody else is away in my house this morning. And I laid there in bed and I said to God, you know what, God, I've got to go and do this service this morning and I've got to go and be a leader in Belmont this year and I need your help. I think I can do it, but I can only do it if I have faith in Jesus. And that's true of you too. Whatever it is you're facing, you can do it, but only in faith in Jesus. Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It does not say, I can do all things. So, let's go back to faith. Here's what faith is. Sorry, I've missed a slide. There you are. Do you believe in gas cookers? What a great slide that was. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we see. It means that you can be confident in what we hope for and certain, sure, about things that we don't see. So faith, I want to say this, as Christians, has an object. We believe, what do we believe in if we're Christians? We believe in Jesus. Yes, we believe in Jesus. We don't have faith, i.e. we grit our teeth and hope for the best. We believe in Jesus, and Jesus gives us confidence as we go along. Faith is about what we are looking towards. At the beginning of this year, who are you looking towards? What are you looking towards to give you hope? Is it that your skill will get you through? Is it your determination will get you through? Or your morality would get you through? Or your coolness will get you through? I'm obviously hoping for the latter one there as well. Let me tell you that faith says that it is Jesus who will get us through. And we can be confident of what we hope for. Because confidence works out in people who are sure of themselves. Not because they think they have it all themselves, but because they think that God has. People in the world think that Christians are funny people, and they're right, but they think it for the wrong reasons. They think Christians are funny because they think they're good. That's not what Christians think. Christians should be people who are honest about the fact we fall short before God, honest about the fact that sometimes we wake up and feel a little bit scared, but confident of the fact that Jesus will carry us through. And I want you to go into this year like that. If you're going to school tomorrow morning and you're a bit scared about it, Jesus is going to be with you there. You'll be all right. Trust in him. Ask him as we go through. Hebrews is full of people like that in Hebrews 11. Not perfect people, but deeply flawed people who had faith in God. And the chapter concludes with these words in chapter 11. They were all commended for their faith. All these people in the Old Testament. They were all said, well done for your faith. Yet none of them got what was promised. None of them did. Since God had planned something better for us, so that through that we would be made perfect. Something better that all of them were hoping for. And that something better is Jesus. And we all know that something better at the beginning of the year. That's so exciting, isn't it? Something better about eternal life that is different in quality because of the cross and the resurrection. The kingdom of God, where we believe that Jesus is a good king and he's our boss, and as long as we follow him, we're going to be all right in life. Wherever we are, whether we're accountants or whether we're plumbers or whether we're at school or a student at university or a professor at university, we all want Jesus as our boss. And it says, therefore, in chapter 12, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, people lining the streets saying, keep going, keep going. I wonder who that is for you. Someone who lines the street, who can hear their cheers. Maybe they've passed away. Maybe they're people that you knew in the past and are not here anymore. So I'm going to come out in a minute. I'm going to ask you that question. I need three people who are your cheerleaders, okay? Here's my cheerleader of the moment, I want to tell you. His name is Clive. He comes from Jamaica. He lives in Luton. He was one of the leaders in my previous church. Since I've been in Exeter, every other day he sends me a WhatsApp message. It usually has a verse from the Bible in it, and sometimes it invites a response, But what do you know what he's saying to me? He's saying to me, I think God has got this for you, Steve. He says, I miss you, but I think you're in the right place. And he says, I am cheering you on. And that makes all the difference. So hands up, please. Someone who can tell me one of your cheerleaders. Don't be shy. Don't sit there saying, I hope you've all got one. Who's got a cheerleader? Sarah, I'm coming to you first. Thank you. Can you tell us just a bit of your cheerleader?
Yes. I don't know if she's here, but Rachel Morris is my cheerleader. Rachel, are you here?
She is. I can see.
Ah, bless. Yeah, Rachel has just been just so encouraging to me in my ministry with the children. And I hope in some small way I've been the same to her.
Brilliant. That's the great thing about Christian cheerleading, because you can cheer each other on. Bethany, who's your cheerleader?
Sarah.
Sarah who?
Sarah.
Sarah Cook. Isn't that so? Rachel's cheering on Sarah, and Sarah's cheering on you. This is amazing. What does she do that helps you?
She leads my group.
She leads your group. Does she do it well?
Yes.
Is she fun?
Yes.
Does she believe in Jesus?
Yes.
Ah, fantastic. Anybody else got a cheerleader? Come on, someone over. Oh, good. Someone over here. I'm coming around here. This is good because I've put on a few pounds and I'm working it off.
Helen Rao. She leads our home group on a Wednesday morning. And she's wonderful, really. She encourages us all. And I hope encourage her. But she's very quick to look after us.
Brilliant. Thank you. One more. Anybody else? Anybody else? Nobody else? I hope you all have got cheerleaders. You're just a bit shy. Here's one of my prayers for the year. When I say that a question like this on Sunday morning, you've all got your hands up. Can we work towards that? That would be fantastic. Let me tell you about a second cheerleader that I have. Her name is, I'm not even sure she's alive anymore, actually. But when I was a teacher, there's a lady called Joan Wales. Joan, I was about 20-odd when I was meeting with her. She was in her late 70s, and she was in our church. And our pastor had an illness, and she said, would you come with me in the morning before you go to work and pray for our pastor? And I did. I was a teacher, so I got up at 7, and I drove to her flat, and I sat with her for 10 minutes, and we'd pray for our pastor. But that moment passed, and she said, I'd like to keep praying with you. And she did it for 3 years. So I'd go to work, I'd get up at 7, I'd stop at this old lady's flat. Very weird. I was only in my 20s, and we'd sit down and she'd pray. And she taught me things about simple faithfulness. Keep going, keep praying, keep trusting in God. We all need cheerleaders, don't we? We all need to be cheerleaders, don't we? So what? That was fantastic, we just heard there. So we have a little chain here of Rachel to Sarah to Bethany. Maybe you're involved in one of those little change. So I'd like you to get your form to start off with. First thing, fill in your form number one. It says, who are my cheerleaders and who am I going to cheer on? There should be pens around. You have been asked to bring one. If you haven't got a pen, think about it now. If we're going to give you 1 minute. Talk to the person next to you if you like. But I want you to fill in your form. Remember, you're bringing it back in February. Who are my cheerleaders? Who am I going to cheer on?
9, 8... 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
time's up. Okay, if you haven't done it, I'd like you to go home and do it, please. Seriously, don't sit there thinking, oh, this is one of those things like school assembly, I shouldn't do it. This is a serious question. Who is cheering you on? And I hope that you might be able to contact them and say thank you. And who are you cheering on? Or who do you think you should be cheering on this year? So surrounded by a crowd of witnesses, cheering on in this race. You know what athletes do at the beginning of a race? They get to their blocks in 100 metres, they've got their tracksuit on and their gear, and they walk up and down like this and do a bit of that. And then they take off their top and they take off their bottom, not all their bottom, just the shorts stay on, and they put it in a little box and somebody takes it away from them. Before they start running, they're cheered on, but they also strip off. So at the beginning of this year, we also need to strip off if we're going to run this race. We need to put off the things that are getting in the way. Maybe you know what those things are, but you just haven't dealt with them. Stuff that gets in the way. Stuff that prevents you putting Jesus at the center. And secondly, ask God to forgive you the sins that you know you're caught up in. Sometimes, don't we keep coming back to sins? It's really bad, isn't it? There's an old hymn that says, take away the love of sinning. Because we are drawn to it. So what is it you keep coming back to? So second thing, 1 minute, turn to your forms. What do you think that hinders you? That what gets in the way? What's an obstacle to following Jesus? And if you want to write a sin down, you can, but you might want to keep that to yourself. So 1 minute for that. Off we go. Ten, nine. Can anybody else join in? Eight, seven, six. Very good. Five, Zach. Four, three, two, one. Oh, there you are. Thank you so much. Remember, fill it in. Bring it back in February. Put it in your Bible so you can refer to it. It's not just a one-off. You strip off to run the race, but you also need to get dressed. And it says in Colossians, do you want to read this with me? So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through, for all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. So we need to strip off and we need to put on Jesus along the way. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing a song before we move to communion, which is really about thinking about what we need to strip off as well to come to Jesus and clothe ourselves with him. And then we're going to sing a song called Waymaker, I think, and the way towards the communion. So let's pray together. Let's just be really quiet before God. Shh. Father, we confess how we feel about this year ahead of us. And whether we are really excited or a little bit scared, help us not to run this race without you. Help us to see the things that you are giving us to do and to enter into them wholeheartedly. Help us to hear the words of people who are cheering us on and be encouraged. And Lord, I ask that this year, one of the things that Belmont would be able to say about itself at the end of the year is, aren't we encouraging? Show us the people we need to cheer on, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much. Simon's just shared with me, he's right, that when you sit down the front and you watch you all come up here, it's a bit like watching the cheerleaders as you walk past there as well, lining the streets with people who share in the race we're running. I've got just about three or four more minutes more. Is that okay just to share, to go to the end of this? We've done that bit, So, not only does it encourage us to strip off and to get ready to run the race, it says that we are to do more than spectate. My mother-in-law has run the London Marathon 5 times. And when one of the early days when I was going out with Nicola, I went up with her to watch her run the marathon. And I was at the marathon, and I was there standing outside a pub, actually, and having a drink, watching her run by, saying, go on, Penny, well done. But it was a world of difference from me standing on the side, looking at it, and watching her get involved. It says here in this chapter, should we read this together? Let us run with perseverance, which means keep going, the race marked out for us. Not just the race, but the race marked out for us. You see, when we are Christians, we do run the race together. And if you're in the London Marathon, it's lots of people's race. There's thousands of people running the race. But each one of those people run their own race as well. So we run together, but we also run as individuals. And every single one of you here is running together as part of Belmont. That's good, isn't it? I hope you feel that. I think that's good. But we're also running our own race. So the question is, what is that race that is you have to run? Now, you might think, I know what I'm going to do, but this is different to the race that you've got to run. So say you're going back to school this week. Who's going back to school this week? Hands up. Look at the smiles on those faces. It's fantastic. On one level, you know what the race run out for you is. It's either that you're going to be teaching or you're going to be learning. And you know your class and your lessons you're going to go to. And that's what I'm going to do. But what if God is sending you for something more than just learning? What if God is doing there because there's somebody who sits across the classroom from you who needs a word of encouragement from time to time? What if God is sending you there because if you're a teacher, it's a very difficult job, but you persevering in that is going to make a difference to people's lives, and you need people cheering you on to make sure that you can do it. So I want to ask you the question this morning about this as we go on. It's not just there, you see. It says in Ephesians 2 that we are... Should we read this? I like reading scripture together. Make sure you're awake still. So it says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is like the race. We've all got a race to run, but we have our own race to run. We all have works to do, but we have our own specific part within that. So if you go back to your form quickly, this is what I want you to think about. I don't think that God wants us to run in Monty Python and Monty Python and the Flying Circus, you might remember it. There's an Olympics in it. And one of them is the 100 metres for people with no sense of direction, where people go off and they go off all over the place, all over the... I don't think God wants us to run 100 metres with no sense of direction. He wants us to have a sense of what he's calling us to and what we're going to do. So fill in your form. What is the race that God's calling you to in 2025? If you're leaving it blank, pray about it. All right, now we can bring to you just one more bit of form, one in a moment. I think that not only are we called to run our race, but we're to do it fixing our eyes on Jesus. It reminds me of the passage where Peter walks on the water. Do you remember that story? Jesus comes walking in the water and Peter says, if it's you, let me come to you. And Jesus says, come. And what helps him to walk is as long as he keeps looking at Jesus, he's able to do it. But when he keeps his eyes off Jesus, the water comes up around his knees and then he starts to panic and sinks quickly. So we run this race that's marked out for us with our eyes fixed on Jesus. He is our confidence at our heart. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Keep focused on him. So I want you to just fill in the last part of your form, which is the last thing to do here. What I need God's help for in my race, or what can I praise God for in my race? In other words, from your point of view, doing what you've got to do, why do you need to keep looking at Jesus? What does it mean for you? What do you need God to do for you at school, when you go back, or at home in the family? Now, just as you finish that, I just want to remind you that in February, in a few weeks' time, we're going to have another all-together service. This service is called Fixing Your Eyes on Jesus. In February, it's going to be called Staying Focused. So what I want you to do is to keep this piece of paper. Don't throw it away. Take it with you. Put it in your Bible or by your bed and look at it each day and say prayers based on what you've got on this. And then when we come back in February, we'll talk about how that's going. And we'll encourage each other to keep going. Because the verses go on to say, consider him so that you may not grow tired or weary. We're not going to do that today. We'll do that later. I'm not sure if I'll be here. Because I think I might be on holiday in Mevagissi. I know. It's good, isn't it? I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, Rachel will see you through that. We're going to now have some prayers, which Ruth and Dan are going to lead for us. Thank you.